Jesus' name, I pray now that these words will come forth from you. I pray, Creator, that you will minister to your children. I pray, Lord, that you will move, you inspire, that you will block Satan and his advance towards your children, his deception. Help us be, Lord, children of faith, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, hear it. And Mark 11, and verse 21, it says, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, saying unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." A great promise that we have here in the Scripture, amen? I promise of having your prayers answered. What a promise. Man, do we need it. But you know, very few people really believe this applies to them. Very few people believe that they can have this kind of faith to remove the mountains out of our life. Think of what mountain you're facing right now. Take a moment to think. Every one of us are facing a mountain of some type. If it be some obsession, if it be some physical, emotional, mental problem, an attitude problem, if it be a concern for a loved one, or if it be whatever, I mean, we each face mountains in our own way, don't we? And we have the promise from God, written in His Holy Word, that we can believe, we can have faith in God. If we don't doubt that what we speak, we're going to get. How can this not be true from a book that's been true so often? Well, here we have a book that's inspired by God. The history has proven to be true. This book has proven itself in so many ways. It's more accurate than even history books are. Time and time again, when history conflicts with the Bible stands to be true in time. In time, the Bible's again and again proven that even historically is true. We have a book that has given us prophecies that are true. The very book that we even base our belief in God in. Do you believe in God? Most people say they believe in God. Well, this is the book that teaches us about God. The very book that teaches you about Jesus Christ, through which you have to believe and trust to have salvation. This is the book that teaches it. No other book teaches us that. Your only salvation that you believe in comes from this book. Yet why can't we go on and believe what else this book has to say? Why cannot we step out in faith and believe that we can have this miraculous power of faith and cause things to happen that needs to happen in our lives and lives around us? The power of faith is so awesome. Amen. So awesome. Think about it. We see in the Bible many different examples of so many different kinds of miracles. Miracles physically, miracles in nature, miracles in personalities. We see personalities switched by faith. Believing in God, and we see people who are wimps turn into great warriors. People who have, like Peter, who betrayed Jesus Christ. And denying him, he denied Jesus Christ, which is a type of betrayal. Turning to be one of the greatest men in the Bible, even unto death, a tremendous change of personality. And that happened to him because of his tremendous faith in God. And we see Paul, someone that's a murderer, It's a tremendous change of personality because it's faith in Christ. And we live in a day that Satan is working hard to destroy and to block this faith. He does not want the children of God to have this tremendous faith. Because he's doing a real good job of ensnaring this world. This world is really in trouble. This world has been strangled to death. It's going to get worse. In our lifetime, we're going to see things that's going to blow our minds out. This world is on a road towards catastrophe. But they're asleep. Asleep, this world is. We are on the brink of disaster. And God, we have a few little previews of disaster, don't we? You know, age is a preview of the disaster that can take us. You know, the AIDS germ is so hard to cure, and so many people, millions of people now are sick with it, and there's no cure. It mutates and mutates and mutates and mutates. They can't keep up with the mutations. What if the AIDS germ becomes mutated into the same kind of virus as a cold germ? That we sneeze and give it to each other. Wouldn't that be terrible? That could happen. If you understand viruses, you understand that the AIDS germ could mutate into like a cold virus. They're very similar in nature. Wouldn't that be terrible? If we could just, you know, touch something, and someone touched the same spot, like a cold germ can be transferred, and you got it. Scratch your eye, and now you have it. Can you imagine the millions and even maybe 2 or 3 billion people die from it? We see the evil creeping into people's minds, the coldness. Satan's got this world by the throat, and he's squeezing the very life out of it. We are going to see disaster in the streets. And God needs Christians that have the faith in him to bring God into this circumstance. Faith is a channel that God can use to bring himself into this world to fight against evil. Man cannot fight against evil. It's impossible. We're going to be engulfed in it. Every one of us will be if God doesn't fight the battle for us. And faith is the only channel God has to move into this arena to fight the battle as a mighty warrior. God himself will come and fight through us. But it takes faith to bring God into this arena. We're so helpless, aren't we, without him? But it's not good enough just to believe in him. It's not good enough just to know there is a God. It's not good enough to just come and read the Bible. It's not good enough to come to church and worship. It's not good enough to pray to him. It's not good enough to sing to him. We can be destroyed in the midst of all of that. A lot of Christians in this world are being murdered. And they worship God. There's churches that people have come into churches where people are worshiping God, and he's killed, and they have killed Christians. They beheaded a bunch of them down in Central America. It's going to take more than just believing in God, worshiping God, reading the Bible, and coming to church and fellowshipping. It's going to take faith. It's going to take people believing God, not only that he exists, that he will apply himself into this war. And when God finds that kind of faith, God can flow right through that faith and bring himself into the arena, and he can destroy evil in our life. Now, can you imagine how desperate Satan is to block this faith? He's done a good job of it. There's very little true faith on the face of the earth. Will he find faith when he comes? He mentions in the Bible. Satan has done a good job in trying to stop faith. This hyper-faith movement's been, a tremendous damage to true faith. I think that's been a tremendous weapon of Satan. And we as Christians have got to counter this with true faith. Amen? Because the day is coming that our very survival is going to depend on it. This kind of faith that we have can unlock people's lives. if we apply it. Right now, we are. This church is, I believe, a kind of a training stage where God is allowing us to go through many things to purify our faith, to cause us to be a strong light into the world in the days to come. And we are suffering from a tremendous lot of emotional problems, attitude problems. We've got a lot of different situations represented here. And God has put us in such a situation, if we don't tap into this faith, that we won't exist here. We have a lot of people are being shaken in this church. Some of our top people are being shaken down. And God's trying to put us in the spot that we will respond. Find the answer. Try the weapon. See if it works. And if we don't, we're going to go down the tubes. We're not going to survive this battle we're in if someone doesn't grab a hold of faith. And it's not going to be just me. It's going to be you too. This is not a one-man show. You know what I mean? This is a group effort. We are here for we in the world. We're not here for me. You know what I mean? I've already had my days of this training. I've already learned these things. I've been out there. I've done it all wrong and learned to do it right. And now I'm here to get an army. This is what this is about here. To go back out from which I came. And you're not going to make it if you don't grab a hold of the trigger and learn to use this tremendous weapon of faith. God is going to put so much pressure on you. He's going to allow Satan to put you in such a corner, start ravishing your marriages and ravishing your personal being until you have to either grab on to faith or perish. That's neat, isn't it? That's cool. It's all right. Thank you, Lord. He puts us in that kind of spot. At least we know we'll either perish or make it. We won't have to live all our lives in some kind of lukewarm state. But we've got to use faith to deliver us from our attitude problems, to deliver us from our coldness, deliver us from our delusions and illusions, our relationship problems. We're going to have to use faith. And faith will do it. It's going to take faith because we got a lot of broken hearts and scarred minds here, don't we? A lot of you have been scarred. A lot of you got a lot of insecurities, and you have broken hearts, and you've got a lot of problems. It's going to take faith for it to happen. Neat, isn't it? But I believe, back to what I was saying about the hyper-faith movement, it looks like there's a lot of faith on the earth because you hear it talked about all the time. You see it on TV. You hear, faith is well taught as far as the way in the perspective that it's being taught. How many of you have heard about all this faith stuff? But see, what happens is when you have a movement that's out of the flesh, you have a movement that puts faith up in front, but there's pride in this movement, and there's flesh in it. It counterfeits faith. And so that true believers will lose hope. They won't believe that faith really works because they see all these people talking about it, all these people promoting it, all these people commanding all kinds of things to happen in the name of Jesus Christ, all kinds of people being prayed for, and so many of it not really happening. That when we look at it, there's a tendency just to not even put any kind of hope into that at all, to back away from it. And so we've got to make sure we don't allow that to happen to us. There's a backlash taking place from these last 20, 30 years that this hyper-faith movement's been going, and it's what it's doing is it's pulling people away from believing in miracles. It's pulling people back into a hopeless feeling. And they're not using that weapon of faith because they think everyone's already used it and it doesn't work. You see, so they're not using it. It's like a gun sitting in the corner, and everywhere see other people come and try to shoot it, and no one's able to shoot it. It just keeps misfiring. So are you going to go pick up the gun and try to use it? Probably not, because so many other people's tried it, and it hasn't availed anything. But we need to go pick up the weapon and learn to use it right. Amen. So that we can be those people that God's going to depend on.
The Bible qualifies the scripture that I read here. I read the scripture out of Mark, and it talks about you can believe in God and have great miracles take place. But it does, in 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says that you need to pray according to God's will. You can't just ask for anything at all in the whole world. And in James 4:3 says a lot of people do ask, but they don't receive it because they ask it selfishly or amiss, means evilly, to consume on their own lust. And they're just trying to use God as a sugar daddy. I don't need rubies and diamonds, and I don't need a new car as much as I need a whole heart. Why waste my prayer on a Cadillac when I got Cynthia I could use my faith on? Amen. And my prayers for? Yeah. Or I could be praying for you and you could be praying for me so we can get away from these attitudes that hold us back. For character development. But we do need to look to the scriptures and get the guidelines for faith, but not be afraid to believe. God is not going to get mad at you if you ask something wrong. If you believe for something you can't have, God isn't going to get mad at you. We need to find the guidelines, but then we need to stand out and start believing. Amen? Amen. Amen. So much doubt because of misuse. So much mistrust. So many people have stopped asking in a believing way. Stop believing. If we're going to stop Satan, we've got to have this mounting, moving faith. Amen. Amen. Now, Satan's going to do anything he can or use anything he can to stop you. You know that? He's going to use anything he can, any way he can, to stop you. One of the first things he's going to do is work on your self-esteem, self-doubt. Why do people not get their prayers answered? Why do they don't have a reaction from God to the faith that they're trying to exhibit? Because so many people don't believe that God would answer their prayer. So many people have self-doubt. This is one of the greatest weapons that Satan has, isn't it? To make you feel like you're not worthy to get your prayers answered. How many's ever felt that way? How many feel that way now? That God's not going to answer your faith because something's wrong with you. That's an old one, but it works very well. We're not good enough. When are we ever going to get in our minds? Of course we're not good enough. Of course we're mess ups. You know? What do we think we're supposed to be? What do you think Jesus died on the cross for? Why do you think he spent 3 days, 3 nights in Hades for? Why do you think God himself took on the likeness of sinful flesh? Why do you think all this happened? It's because we're mess ups. We're the F troop. Amen? Let's just get that settled so you don't have to have a problem in that. You can't mess up enough to shock God. Now, once in a while, you might surprise him a little bit, but not shock him. God expects the human race to malfunction. We've proven that over a period of time. Amen? And God is not looking for super righteous stars to win this world back. That's why God is the tree of life, because nothing functions well without him. He is the tree of life. He wants to be the tree of life. He realizes when we're not plugged into electricity, no electricity flows. He knows that we're not plugged into him, then of course we're not going to function correctly. Come on, let's get that out of the way. Let's stop having pride. We make mistakes and think, well, God's not going to bless me now, because the reason why we think that, we've been in self-work so long. We've been looking at our own works to find valuability. Come on, our valuability lies in the value God has for us. His ability to use us, our willingness for him to use us, makes us valuable to God. God wants to use the humble. God wants to use those that no one would ever expect to do something great. Do you think anyone would expect Mike Akins to touch a world for God? I come from a poor family of many children. Our family could go down as notorious. You know, I mean, we've had all kinds of things in our family. Who would ever think the Aikens clan could ever do anything or produce anything? Right, Ray? I mean, I don't think anyone would stand out and say, well, someone say, well, who do you think is going to be the next person or group of individuals to shake this world for Jesus Christ? And someone would stand, well, I think it's the Aikens family down here from the south end of town. I don't think anyone would think that. They might think it's the Reagan family or the Clinton family, you know. They might say it's the Graham family, but I don't think they say it's the Aikens family or the Childs family or the Rodriguez family or the Barkers or the Stover clan or the House, Haas or House or clan. Every time I start to say that, I think of that guy on Bonanza, you know. I don't think they're going to think it's the Pyramid clan. Well, it's that Pyramid clan that just moved up from Oklahoma. They're going to touch the world. Do you think anybody's going to think that? No, it's the Pisanos. They're going to do it. Hey, I don't want to disappoint anybody, but I don't think anyone out in this world is going to point at us and say, yep, they're the ones that's going to move this world for God. You see? So the deal is that's what God's looking for. You know? If a little, what's her name, Clinton girl? Chelsea? Little Chelsea grows up and does something great, everybody's going to say, well, she come from a good family. Good training. Right? But you have one of us do something and say, man, it must be God. It must be God. Because they're not able to. They don't have what it takes. Well, guess what? That's exactly what God looks for. God uses the base things to shake a world, to confound the wise. God is looking for humble people who are just not much more than a worm. Someone that can't, you know, that's abased, so that he can glorify himself, so that he can draw all the universe back to him, so that he can cause this universe to function correctly. So we're good candidates, aren't we? We're the perfect ones for all of this. But we've got to deal with self-doubt. We've got to deal with this low self-esteem. We've got to believe that God is the one that can do it, and no one is bad enough to confuse God or restrict God. There's no one too complex. There's no one that's got too many scars. There's no one that's insecure so much that God can't figure them out. Amen? So we've got to deal with this self-doubt. The way we do that is just go ahead and recognize that we are mud. Right? That's what we are, mud, aren't we? Clay, mud. That's what God made us out of. And say, okay, now so what? Now what? Now it's time for God. Amen? Now, another thing the devil uses on you is, well, you don't know for sure what to ask for, exactly how to ask it. You ever had that problem? Well, what can you ask for anyway, Lord? You know? Well, I mean, get a very general idea and then start asking. Start believing. Amen? That's like wondering which one of those guns is going to shoot this burglar that just broke into my home. I don't know which gun to pick up. I don't know which one's loaded. So I guess I won't shoot any. And if some guy broke in, he's about 6'6", weighs about 300 pounds. You know, and he looks like one of these guys on TV. You ever see guys on TV that you think, boy, if that was real, that'd scare me to death. Hey, these are real guys on there. Real guys like that can break into your home. These are real guys on TV, aren't they? You see these Cyclops? They're real people. And one of those guys broke through the door, just knocked the doors off the hinges, starts walking in, starts to attack my little wife here. I'd start picking up those guns and firing them as fast as I can until I got one that worked. Wouldn't you? You know what to ask for? Get asking. You know, oh God, give me this. Didn't work. Oh God, I believe for that. Didn't work. Oh God, I believe for that. No, didn't work. Oh God, heal. Oh, God healed. Praise God. That's pretty neat. Cool. You know, start asking. God is going to say, well, you didn't guess the right thing to ask for, so I'm going to penalize you and never answer a prayer again the rest of your life. You think God's going to do that? I'm going to do that. We ask for the wrong thing. He's up in heaven and says, ask again. Come on, that's close. You're hot. Come on, ask again. Because this is God wants to make this thing work. sometimes we treat God like that He's just really mean and tough up there, and we want to make this thing work more than He does. He couldn't care less if all this worked out or not, or if you got your problem solved, or these people got healed, or whatever. He's up there saying, well, if you don't do this precisely right, I don't care if you all make it or not. And it's all us down here thinking, you know, is that the way it is? God wants us to work more than we do. Because God encompasses the whole eternal time. We got this little time and space that we occupy. God's been working on this for some time. He's got more involved. God wants this thing to work more than we do. He's anxious for this to work. He wants faith to work for you. He wants your prayers to be answered. He's encouraging you. He's drawing you through His Holy Spirit. God is more serious than we are. And He's working always to try and find a way to make it work. If we realize that, it won't be so difficult for us to ask and believe. Amen? We have such a misperception of what God's all about. You know? This is not about us. This is about God. That's what this is all about. Faith is not about us. Did you know faith isn't about us? Faith is about God. It's not something to do with you. It's something to do with Him. Faith in Him, not faith in the way we do it, or if we do it just right, or if we are worthy or not, or all this stuff. No, it's faith in Him. See? It's about Him, not about us. He's just looking for some humble souls to step out and be counted and just believe in Him. And be willing to hang on while they learn how to use it. Right? Hang on for the training period. God is looking for people who would dare to believe in Him. Amen. Dare to believe in His faithfulness. Dare to believe His word. And people who will not lose faith during the training period. During the foggy period. It gets foggy out sometimes, doesn't it? In our lives. We can't see straight. Everything seems so upside down. Things seem wrong. It just seems like there's no hope. God is looking for people who just hang on to what the Word says through the fog. Amen? Just to hang on through your training period. God will train you. He knows how to train you. If you've ever been in any kind of a training situation and you have a good coach, he'll say, trust me. You know? Just do what I tell you to do and you'll be a winner. I've had many coaches tell me that in my life. You know, I remember a basketball coach said, Mike, trust me. I said, but coach, I'm only 5'7½. Trust me. Okay, he says, do whatever I tell you to do. You'll be a good basketball player. But all these other guys were 6-footers. Trust me. Okay, I'll trust you. What do you want me to do? I want you to run around here about 150 times. You know, run around the gym 150 times. What do I do now? I want you to duck walk. You know what duck walk is? If you don't know what it is, you don't want to know what duck walk is. I hate duck walking. How many don't know what duck walking is? Duck walking is this. That's duck walking. You do that all around the gym a few times. Whew, it's hard. Push-ups, jumping jacks. Trust me. Shoot 150 goals. Trust me. Back and forth, up and down, around all over the place. Hey, I did all right. About the ninth grade, I went out to basketball. Still pretty good. Coach, why? Coach. Good coach. Very good coach. I wasn't so good. He was good. You know? Trust me. A lot of coaches tell you. Karate guy tells me, trust me. So he snaps you up beside the head. He said, did you miss? No, I got you. He didn't, you know, trust me. He knocks you down in your, you know what? What's this all about? You had a fight with your wife today? Trust me. You know? But if you trust coach, he knows how to train you, right? If you trust your coach, he knows how to train you. God knows how to make heroes out of people who have no reason to believe they can be a hero. But we got to trust Him, and that's what He's looking for. People will hang in there and let Him train them. He said, but what if I don't listen perfectly? God's not stupid. He knows we got a hearing problem, right? Amen. God's not still. He knows we're not going to mind everything He says. Yeah, but what if I run away for a while? Trust Him. He knows you're going to run away for a while. He knows you're going to buck him. But he's going to ride you till you're tamed. Amen. Till you're putty in his hands, clay in his hands. He said, well, but why? You know, it's not so much what we do, it's what he does. If we put our trust in him. God can train soldiers. Come on, look at the Bible. Look at all these great heroes. Most of them didn't start out as heroes. A lot of them ran away. Okay, look at old Elijah. How many times did Elijah run away? Does you ever get frustrated at these guys in the Bible? You know, he's doing a great miracle, so then he's down in gripe, and he's down there sitting by the river, running and hiding. Get too prideful? He says, okay, here's another training lesson. And down they go. And he'll pick him up again. You know, when David fell, how many of you find it hard to believe that David fell? Isn't that something, David? I mean, if God gave me the power to wrestle a lion down and beat a lion, beat a bear, and beat a giant, you know, and beat all these armies, it seems like I'd be a perfect man. Don't you think you would be? But I think, you know what happened to David, I believe, really? He got too high up. He got lifted too far up. And God says, uh-oh, I'm just going to step back a little bit and let you fall. Because, see, I've got to get you ready for little Solomon. To keep the bloodline going. You're going to have to teach him some things. And you're just too prideful. I don't want you to have a little Solomon yet. Because if you had a little Solomon too right now, you might just fall that kid. Who knows what. But you see what I mean? Training. God will train you. He will train you. Amen? We need to start right now in our own lives. We need to take the first step in our own life of unleashing this faith. And start with things that we know God wants us to do. How many think God wants you to have a good character? Come on, stand and believe that God can develop a good character in you. Stand and believe. We're saying, well, I don't know what we can ask for. We know we can ask for that. But we're not standing in faith and believing God can create a good character in us. That God can create loyalty in us. And God can cause us to be dependable. We need to trust him for that. Trust him that he can change our attitude and deal with these desires that we have that are not glorifying him. We need to dare to believe God for our fulfillment. Because so many times we're trying to find so many other things to fulfill us. Why don't we just believe God that he can fulfill us? Amen. But I don't feel like it now. Come on, wait a little bit. You know, God can do it. It takes time. Amen? God is ready. He's more than ready and willing. He's got so many people waiting for the children of faith. God's got so many people out there that are waiting, that need someone to believe for them. So many people are perishing. So many people are being tormented. So many people are hurting with such deep pain. And they're looking for those children of God that the Bible talks about in Romans to be manifested. Amen? For the sons of God to be manifested. They're waiting. Why can't we be some of the first ones in this generation to bring true faith? I'm not saying the first one, but some of the first ones to bring tremendous faith to this generation. To show a whole lost generation that there's hope. Short in our life, number one, and then let it flow over into other lives around us. Amen? And those of you that says, well, I've fallen so far, I've messed up so bad, probably be easier for you than some of the ones that haven't messed up as much as you messed up. Because if you have messed up much, you probably still got self-works in there, pride in there, and God will probably have to break that down. Very possibly. But those of you that feel like you've really messed up, you're probably ready for it. Because you're going to be more humble and more willing to trust God for what God wants to do. Amen? Amen? The darkness in this world is dark and it's getting darker every day. The world is going to fall. Who's going to catch it? Who's going to catch it? It's going to be the F troop. Amen. It's going to be the F troop that's going to catch this world. It's going to be the base people. It's going to be the ones that don't count on, the ones they don't believe would dare be able to. We're going to be the ones. We're going to be part of these ones. Amen. Believers scattered out all over the world, united in their faith in God. Some of them widows. Some of them got backgrounds you cannot believe. Some of them are plain James that's never done anything. You see? And I believe we can be a part of that. Amen? But we got to start now. We got to start by asking God to train us. Asking God to make it happen in our life. We got to get our eyes off our all little petty problems that keeps our minds so occupied. And just believe that He is faithful. Amen? Simple message, but an important message. We need to hear it over and over again until we finally have a breakthrough in our mind and simply say, God, here am I. I'm going to trust You.
Amen?
Amen? Then have patience. Somebody want to say any more thing to add to that or anything? Yes?